Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Bills versus football team. You got around to saying it.
I couldn't say Buffalo.
Buffalo versus Washington.
Yeah, I couldn't say you say Buffalo when you're not in Buffalo.
You get it right. Right.
But I'm not saying Bills versus Washington. Yeah, I hate their team name. It's the worst.
Yeah, nobody says go Buffalo to one another. They say go Bills.
They do say let's go Buffalo at times, right?
But it has sure. It's only when they're singing.
Yes. That's a chant, though. Yeah.
That's a chant. It's not a phrase. It's a chant.
That's different. Yeah.
I notice it every time I say Buffalo when I'm talking about the Bills or the Sabres. I notice it every time. I don't even know why I do it.
I hate the football team so much.
We got to get rid of them.
Please. Last
week they were on Monday night or Thursday night.
They should be abolished, really. I mean, I'd be fine with
you
that.
You hate them.
I am. They make me, like, nauseous.
It's righteous. For me, it's righteous. Like, why does Bulldog hate Washington? Why does he hate Atlanta Falcons? It's kind of silly.
Falcons is silly. The Washington thing is real. Like, the name was, I mean,
the
ridiculously
name
offensive forever, and until the owner, the jackass, arrogant owner, got, like, smacked around enough financially, he finally agreed, like, okay, we'll change the name because I have no choice because of money. And I know that's the way the world works, but it's still gross. And then all this stuff with their front office and the treatment of women in the media and women who work there. And look, I'm not here to tell you that I'm sure the other 31 teams in the league are all clean as a whistle on that front, but I don't know that they're gross. I know that Washington is gross. So, like, I can't – I really I find them appalling. Like, in a real – like, this is real, though. Like, it's not put on for the radio. Like, I know the Atlanta thing, if we were out with friends, I might just admit, like, you know, whatever. I'm just goofing around. It's the radio. You know, it's
like
fun.
Like
say
the way you are
say,
about ice cream.
Sure, right. But Washington, the football team, they really should be like, they should be plowed under earth into a landfill.
Wow.
They're disgusting.
There's no way to top this, and it's 3:05.
All right, now, good.
It's over.
I got some guitars up here.
Football team.
Just gross.
What is the best reason for hating a sports team? Because I was starting to say, like, I know your point about Washington. It's fine. I'm nodding in approval. It's not my point. I get it. I could easily come along and feel the same way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That seems like a pretty good case
tough
for hating a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other all
they're
the other,
morally
the
outrageous.
Other hate is the other hate is all. It's just like part of the fun. You know what I mean? Like hating. I hate the Yankees. Okay, fine. They're a rival, you know? Like, it's fun to hate them. I don't find anything about hating Washington or anything I just said fun. Like, it's noxious. It's gross.
New England has been pretty good for this. Like, New England, yeah, they've been the rival, but not even, like, a good rival because you could never beat them all those years.
Right. And the cheating.
But, yeah, like, it's more – it was other things, mm-hmm, you know. How do you qualify? You win all the time. Maybe people question the legitimacy of your winning. I mean, you win for 20 years. It's kind of tough, but – sure, like that worked. You had a Shula problem because he was on the competition committee and the Bills could never beat Shula in the 70s.
That's more Frank Parker than me. Oh. That's my dad. That's just what I grew up hearing about at, you know, family parties while they were playing Michigan Rummy and drinking highballs. Like, my
sounds
older
great
cousins and my dad and my Uncle Benny would complain about how Don Shula was mobbed up or something because he's on the competition committee. It's nonsense.
I cannot tell you how many times growing up I heard about Don Shula being on the competition committee.
Yeah.
The thing I knew most about Don Shula is that he was on constant the competition committee.
Are you serious?
Every flag against the Bills, there'd be like my dad would like bang his hand on his knee and sometimes stomp the floor and with his foot at the same time, like, right? So double, like, the hand to the knee, the foot to the floor. And if it got too obnoxious, my mother would banish him to the basement. And he would go down to the basement and, like, just do work at his workbench. Like, I don't even know what he was doing because I got to keep watching the game. So I was like, sorry, Dad. Yeah, your mom kicked you out.
How about that move?
But, you know, a flag on the Bills, and it's Don Shula and the competition committee and all this stuff. And it was just, twice a year. That was my childhood.
Come to think of it, it's been a while since I've heard anybody complain that the league wants the Bills to lose. Haven't heard that in a while. Maybe the league stopped wanting the Bills to lose. Mm. All right, so New England's good. Washington, you got your thing. Atlanta, you just hate because they're never relevant. You just sort of, tired of them. You're bored by them. Get out of
here. And I don't think a part of this is sort of it got kicked up a notch when they were in the Super Bowl. My buddy John Gale has a friend who lives in the Atlanta metropolitan area, and John was down in Atlanta visiting this friend of his for the Super Bowl, and they went out to what he described as like a busy bar district area while the Super Bowl was going on.
Buckhead.
And he said, I don't know where they were, but wherever they were, they went to a few different places. He said, like, people in the place, the game was on, but people weren't even really paying attention.
Yeah.
It's like the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, and they were in Atlanta, out in bars, and people were like, hey, could you put Bowling for Dollars on? I mean, just get out of here. I don't think the fans there care about the team either. And that, I always thought that, I believed that, and then I got, you know, some small sample size of evidence from my friend John Gale, and it just sort of put me over the edge.
Sure. The people there are different than you, so you don't like them. They don't care about the Super Bowl.
Sure. That's it, yeah.
I've been mad at cities with baseball teams where the fans don't go. It's Atlanta, too. Like, playoff games where there's nobody there, every Rays game ever.
Yep.
Right. Like, you know, I want a baseball team. Why do you have one? How did you get that?
Right.
Right. Places with money. New York Giants. Like, so I'm trying to figure out my place here in this conversation. New York Giants for me have kind of become a thing. And, you know, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. New York, all the night games, all just like sort of the benefit of the doubt because they're the New York Giants. They're blue blood. You know, all those 4 o'clock or what, just the prime summer all Madden games, just always getting sort of that more like Dallas in a way, more credit than they deserve. Mm-hmm. And now they're just a disaster. Like now they're hilarious.
They're inept now.
They're inept.
Like, yeah.
And that's funny.
Yep.
So that works. I guess I hate the New York Giants. They have a win over my team in the biggest game. And, you know, they get all this credit for how they did it. And we missed a field goal, right? Like, good, great job. Amazing. Unbelievable. We missed a field goal. Good job making your field goals. We missed. You did it. Mm-hmm. Coach, Hall of Fame. I'm getting tense. I hate the Giants. A team that would pick Barkley second overall. They could have picked Josh Allen, I guess. Good thing they didn't. They could have picked Sam Darnold. Is he good?
I don't know, maybe.
Post-Adam Gase effect.
Is he good now?
He might be.
He's all right.
It was Houston. He's still fumbling all the time.
He was all right yesterday, I think, right? I mean, all right. He's fine. 300 yards. I mean, I want to remember when we were yearning for someone to throw for 300 yards for the Bills.
Right.
So I might want to back off at it just being all right, but, you know, whatever.
I'd put him at, like, competent right now is where I'd put him.
I'm a little mad at him, I guess. I stopped watching right around the time Horn got hurt is mm-hmm. when I think I fell asleep, right? So it was early third quarter, and, you know, I had DJ Moore going, and he had like a 20-point first half, and it's early in the third quarter, and I sort of shut it down and thought, well, we're going to be happy with 20, but we should get more than that. There's a lot of game left. And then I got up this morning, and it's 20, and I was like, come on. What happened there? How did you not get any more points in this game, Sam Darnold? Throw the ball to DJ Moore. What's wrong with you? But that's really personal.
Well, they didn't really need to. They didn't really need to. And he got hurt for a minute, but he went back in. What?
He got a carry even. They handed him the football once. I don't think it went well.
I'm glad we talked about him yesterday. Like, we laid that out for everybody who was interested in that game. Like, watch this guy. And then, like, just the first quarter was all DJ Moore. Just like, it was totally him.
Massive first half, obviously. He got all those points in the first half, I think.
Just about. All right, well, I like that. Like, what's the best reason for hating a team? You lose to them a lot, and, you know, you have some other, like, you have your own pet cause that they sort of offend you in that area. This game, so, you know, I've kind of been talking, I think this is not that interesting, maybe a lot of people would say this, after Miami. Maybe now looking back before Miami, I don't know, but that was such an easy win. These games here, nothing that good can really happen. You know, like, they're expected to win this game.
Right. You're holding serve, basically, is all you can really do until Kansas City in 3 weeks.
They'll win this game 3 out of 4 times based on the spread, you know, 75% to 80% of the time. And Houston, they'll be a 2-touchdown favorite against Houston, maybe more. And so that's a way higher percentage chance. Like, it would be a problem if the Bills weren't 3-1 going to Kansas City. They could look amazing. Like, take the Dolphin game, for example. And this is also something, like, everybody knows this, but, like, you have a game 35-0. You don't see the game. What do you think? You think, wow, man, we must have been great. And defensively, the Bills were great. Offensively, they were fine, but not great.
Yeah,
so
maybe a little bit like how New Orleans was on the first game of the year.
Okay,
right? I mean they drilled Green Bay 38-3 or whatever the score was.
I think that's right.
And you think, like, oh my gosh, that must have been crazy. I mean, the guy threw 5 touchdown passes, but they, you know, you said it earlier this week, right? He set a record for, like, fewest yards passing in a game with that many touchdown passes. And so, did you feel great about them rolling into week 2? Really, maybe you did, but. You know, was it shocking that they lost? Probably not, because their offense might not be that good.
Well, what we're trying to do here this year is win the Super Bowl. That's what we're trying to do. And so, like, that is kind of, at least as the season starts, that is the measure. That's the measurement that the Bills are playing with here. As we talk about them, you know, not everybody, not internally, it would never be like this. They would never have come out of that Miami game. How did we establish ourselves as a bona fide Super Bowl contender today? Like, those guys don't talk like that. Beating Washington, I think Washington's okay. I don't think they're not Houston or anything. And then beating Houston, both home games, would not really change that. Would not really change the equation, I think, for this. It's going to be the Chiefs, unless, you know, something happens to them, maybe, in the next 2 games. Mm-hmm. But as I'm looking at the whole board here with this season, it's really just, you know, don't blow it. Washington, Houston, don't blow it. Now, what are the chances that they blow it? Defensively, this team's been excellent. They've given up 1 touchdown on defense in 2 games. That was Diontae Johnson, who, by the way, I'm seeing just now has been ruled out for Pittsburgh's game against Cincinnati. Anyway, that's they had the block punt from that game and then the shutout last week. Defensively, so far, so good. Really, with these two teams, Bulldog, they could put up some numbers defensively for the first month.
Yeah, they could. They, you know, it might not be crazy to, maybe to expect it. Hope might be a better way to put it, but hope that they might be like the top ranked defense in the league by the time they go into Kansas City.
They're number two now.
Talking point, right? They're number two already, and you know, we'll see what Heinicke can do here. He can run around a little bit. He's got some good skill players, but you know, he's far from proven a lot. You know, so that could be a big talking point going into Kansas City. Like, look at this Bills defense, and okay, well, now's the real. You know, now it's real. Like, you're playing the Chiefs. Like, let's see you do that against the Chiefs. So we'll see if that can happen or not. But yeah, I mean, I think it's set really nicely for them to be rolling into KC, looking like, you know, even though they lost the opener, looking like a pretty solid contender.
Would you take 4-2?
No. No, because that what am I doing here? I'm either losing one of these two games I should never lose. Well, never lose is very strong, but you know what I mean. They're heavily favored in both games, so you shouldn't drop one of these. And then I'm just saying, fine, go ahead and lose in Kansas City. I don't want to do that.
I'll take 4-2 if I'm losing this Sunday and beating Kansas City. Because I got to imagine that vastly there's a great difference in the odds on the one seed.
I'm not putting any conditions on it.
I'll have to say no, because that Kansas City game, I guess, in the frame of that question, I don't really care about this game if I beat Kansas City. I mean, I care about it, but like, I'm chasing the one seed, and if I'm 4-2, but I've beaten the Chiefs, I think I've got a really good shot at it.
Okay, we found out last night that there will be a Monday night game on Wild Card Weekend, which, you know, Wild Card Weekend. Is that even still what they call it? Super Wild Card Weekend
super,
or something?
Right. Super Wild Card Weekend now because they added a game. Yeah, right.
It's everybody except the two ones, like last year. So it's much more than just wild card teams like it used to be. So, you know, that probably would affect the Bills. They don't have to get the Monday night, but they're likely to play that weekend. They could get the one and not. They could miss entirely. Or they could play that first weekend, and I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, the criticism, it broke last night, and the criticism of it was what? Oh, money grab. Again, we don't care about the players or the teams. Warren Sharp is big on the sort of hidden advantages and disadvantages in the schedule. And so a playoff team having to go, two playoff teams having to play on Monday night, and then again, presumably Sunday, not Saturday, you would like to think.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the winner. That's not fair. And, you know, okay, I'd like to think that the league would make some effort, maybe do its best to put the right game on that Monday night. You know, like short flight, maybe. You know, not just sort of, is Dallas playing? So we'll put that, right? I sort of want to think that they'll be cool about that. I don't know.
We'll see if they can set it up that way. I agree with you. I would think that they would try to do that, but it won't be. I don't think if you're going for a Monday night playoff game, the fairness of the following week isn't the reason you're doing it. You want a good game on Monday night, right? I mean, I know it's playoffs, so all the games should be good, right, Bulldog? But, you know, come on, Wild Card Weekend, there's always games that you look at the schedule and go like, oh my God, I can't believe I want to watch this.
Well, look at last year.
What's that?
Look at last year.
Right. What was last year? Who played? I don't even remember. Bills and Colts. I know it's Saturday, but I don't remember anything else.
Bills and Colts.
There was a Rams-Seahawks game.
That was maybe second. They had the Steelers and the Browns. Chicago and New Orleans in the MVP game on Nickelodeon. That's back this year, by the way. I'm looking for a list. Just
here we
to
go.
Read
I got it.
Off,
it. I got I it. So it. You had the in order of when they were played. So starting with
Bills.
Saturday, January 9th. Bills, Colts, Seahawks, Rams, Washington, Tampa Bay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was the night game on Saturday. Then Sunday, you had Tennessee hosting Baltimore, New Orleans hosting Chicago in the Nickelodeon game, and then the Sunday night game was Pittsburgh hosting Cleveland.
So put Cleveland-Pittsburgh on Monday night because it's a 20-minute flight.
Right.
Or I kind of like the idea of just sticking the NFC East on Monday night.
Do you?
It gives the league like the pedigree they want, and it's also a game I don't care about.
You don't care
I'll care about the playoffs? Sorry, I will care about it, but it'll be the least appetizing game to me. Probably.
Your father really was he complained about Don Shula, the no, way
more,
Bulldog
like
is
my,
talking?
My grandpa and like uncles really? And such, yeah.
Is that like us about Belichick someday or our parents or what? What is happening there?
Oh, I'll be complaining about Belichick. Well, Belichick cheating? Yes.
Older than your dad.
I love that yes. All these years apart. I mean, we are separated by what are we separated by? 22 years, Joe?
More.
Of age, some of that?
30.
And you've got that same experience with that. I think that's so
Don
cool.
Don Shula, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did coach a long time.
Yeah.
The 90s.
95.
Would I have been alive?
No, 95 is his last game.
All right, so I'm alive for Don Shula.
The Bills
as a coach
put him into retirement.
Was he still on the competition committee in 95?
I don't know. I don't even really
know
what
how long was his reign of the competition committee.
I mean, what kind of a grip did he have over the other
Listen,
people?
Listen, whether he was officially on it or not, he was always on it. Come on. That's how
someone
it worked.
Else would nominate.
You need my dad to call the show and explain all this to you?
Off the air.
I've got a Sun Sentinel article from 96, March 2nd.
Relax.
Don Shula stepping down as co-chairman of the competition committee after 20 years.
Like, what kind of a hold did he have over the other people in the room? If somebody else wanted to make, you know, pass interference a 15-yard penalty instead of a spot foul, would Shula just sort of give him a look and that would not happen? Like,
he's co-chairman.
Would he just have – what would he do? How did he get his way?
He'd walk over and put his cigar out on the back of the guy's hand. And that would be it. No words would be spoken. He would just do that. And, like, okay, all right, I guess you have made your decision, Don.
He would just look at you. Yeah. And you would bail. You would abandon your proposal. If you didn't have Don's approval, what are we even talking about?
I don't even know.
Sal Capaccio coming up at 4 today. Roundtable, which is us talking only when it's called the Roundtable, will be from 5 to 6. We'll have picks. We'll have Rachel's fresh picks as well. And a minute on this Ryder Cup. Isn't it the best? Is it the best? It's kind of the best. I love it.
It's pretty good.
That Jordan Spieth shot, that's an all-timer today. Jordan Spieth hit a shot. I might have to like him now. The pitch, you know that shot tracer they have? Yeah. Did you see the shot tracer on that?
I did not see the shot tracer.
Oh, my goodness.
That shot.
I'll tell you in a minute. 803-0550 to reach us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Football Friday here on WGR.
I think if you go back to off-season habits, in particular in this case for AJ, he made a decision to be here in our building when he didn't need to be. That said a lot about his commitment to his career and to playing better and playing at the level we're seeing right now. And I think that's the great part about it for a young player just in his second season to have, I guess, call it a wake-up call to realize that, to make that commitment that most people don't do that in that point in their career, and it's paying dividends for him.
Bills coach Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show today with Sneaky Joe and Sal Capaccio. Sal will join us at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Joe is with us now, as always. Huge day of injury news in the NFL. Joe mentioned in the update earlier how the Bills have a long list. They do, and they're thin at corner in particular, but the Bills continue to be largely, you know, unscathed when it comes to injuries. I'm not superstitious, sorry. The rest of the league, though, I mean, it's just a beatdown. Not even thinking of McCaffrey, like that happened already. But, you know, some of these I didn't even know about. Like, Amari Cooper has a cracked rib. We heard a little bit on him. He says he's going to play. DeAndre Hopkins has a rib injury. Game-time decision. Dalvin Cook, questionable. Deontay Johnson out for Pittsburgh. He got hurt on the last play of the game, one of those screwy, meaningless, they're down by 9, plays at the sideline.
You love that. Yeah.
You love that. T. Higgins for the same game, Cincinnati, is doubtful.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs is doubtful for the Raiders. He missed week two. Daryl Henderson, game time decision for the Rams. I'm doing this from memory. Are there probably others?
Wentz, obviously a quarterback game time decision, but we know that one. Antonio Brown's missing due to COVID.
He's still out.
Even though he had 4 days and he needed two negative tests within a 24-hour period.
That's tough, though, if you're positive to just be negative.
Yeah.
Right. Know? Yeah, that was Wednesday, and so, yeah, we talked about that. And so it doesn't look like he's going to make it.
Mooney is questionable now with a groin injury for Chicago.
Mooney, coach is optimistic.
No Anthony Firkser for the Titans.
Firkser is out. Firkser.
Evan Ingram is questionable. Yep.
Galladay is questionable.
Yeah,
hip.
Everywhere.
That's not what you want. Just everywhere, yeah. Gibson is good.
Yes. Oh, Delvin Cook also.
I mentioned Delvin Cook.
Oh, you did, okay.
Mm-hmm. McCaffrey, like, what a bummer. What are you supposed to do? What am I doing with my life? With fantasy football, my obsession. What am I doing with my life when this, like, of course. This happened last year.
Something like that can just ruin...
Forget it.
Half of your teams or more.
Here, take my money. I mean, whatever. Just like, yeah. I mean, in terms of McCaffrey, I'm not that heavily invested. But if you were, if you picked first in any league, you'd pick Christian McCaffrey. Like last year. And, you know, there's just, I went to Las Vegas and drafted in these big money leagues where, like, you've got, not only do you have guys who spend, like, I guess I have to say I have done, all their free time studying and researching and planning. You've got sort of the best at this. And they're also people who have a lot of teams. So you see some variation you wouldn't normally otherwise see, right? I go to your draft. It's a pretty good order. You know, if you have somebody in there that's just like fooling around, it gets mixed up. But mostly it's,
sure.
You know, your basic draft is kind of the same guys in roughly the same order. Sometimes in these other ones, it's not all over the place. You see more variance because this guy has 20 other teams and he doesn't want the same players. So he doesn't pick, I don't know, Dalvin Cook at two. He picks Derrick Henry because he has Dalvin Cook five times or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
It's all to say, with 101, that did not happen. Nobody avoided McCaffrey.
Dave Buchanan took Josh Allen in our league, and Paul got McCaffrey at two.
Superflex is different. Superflex.
Okay.
But, right. Yeah, okay, right. Like, yeah. In Fishbowl, I took Mahomes at one. Like, that Superflex changes a little bit.
Okay.
I should have said that, but, you know? So, McCaffrey, like, of course, you sort of stuck. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. If he, look at the games he plays. He doesn't even have to score a touchdown. He scores over 20 points a game.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you draw the order, you get number one, you're super happy, and then you just hold on to the railing until it's over, and then there he goes, just limping off. They ruled him out right away.
Oh, yeah.
Last night. Just right away.
Although there was, they teased, there was a little bit of a tease. Like, how closely were you watching? It was like the game was going on, and they needed to wait to get to Aaron Andrews, and Joe Buck sort of said, like, there's big news, and he sort of like, okay, what is it? But then there was a penalty, and they had to wait for the guy to announce the penalty, and like, okay, let's finally go down to Aaron Andrews. Christian McCaffrey's done for the night. I might be exaggerating, but there was like maybe a minute where you were like on the, like, what's the going to be then? What's the big news?
He's got to let her say it, right? If it's an injury, it's probably in the contract.
I have him in one place, and I actually thought today was like kind of positive on that front because the way he went out last night and how quickly he was ruled out, I was thinking, okay, this is IR at least. And maybe it's almost the season. That's kind of how last year went.
Yeah, even Darnold, I read a story this morning where Darnold talked about how he was trying to, like, keep his spirits up because we're going to need him for the end of the year.
Yeah.
Is how Darnold said it.
And then today,
or maybe he said later in the year. I don't. But I thought it felt like end of the year. They were hoping to get him back, like for the stretch run or something.
Just like last year.
The Panthers, though, today said they're not considering putting McCaffrey on IR. So that would tell me he's not going to miss 3 weeks.
Not considering it.
They're not even considering putting him on IR, which would knock him out 3 weeks. So to me, I think this is 1 or 2 weeks.
Is this where Bulldog says they're not considering it until they do it? They're going to say they're not considering it until they just do it.
They could just do it like in 5 seconds. And
but I agree with you, Joe. This morning it sounded much more like Thanksgiving or later is the vibe I got this morning. And then later in the day, it has not sounded as dire as that.
They just knew right away he was out. Like that's a concern. But anyway, just all these injuries, what can you do? There's only so much you can do with a roster. And you're putting that much money into it. But, you know, what do people gamble on? They play poker. They can't control what card comes up on the river. They play roulette. You know, it's whatever. You gamble on it. There's obviously going to be some risk. Just some days it feels like it's an overwhelming amount.
Yeah, sure.
The, you know, speaking of gambling a little bit, I guess, we have this little pool that we put together yesterday on Ryder Cup. Are you watching any of it?
Yeah, no, I watched a lot of the morning, and I've been watching since the afternoon started back up, and I've got it on right now on my iPad up in the attic. So yeah, I'm watching. This is a big afternoon for me. My four Europeans are both paired up together.
Oh
the stacks.
So I've got McIlroy and Lowry and Hovland and Fleetwood are playing together.
Ooh, nice draw.
Yeah. This it feels like if I'm going to make any noise in this thing, this afternoon is going to be big for me.
The place looks incredible.
Oh, yes, it does.
The golf course looks incredible. So it's kind of near Green Bay, this Whistling Straits, Kohler, Wisconsin. I took a flight. Remember that time I went to with my then-girlfriend, now wife?
To my ex-girlfriend's wedding? Yes.
Yes.
Of course I remember that. One of the best Fridays we've ever had was that show before you left.
It was a great trip. So that flight was Chicago to Green Bay. And I remember, like, I don't like to fly, but this particular time, I'm on the right window. I'm always on the right window. And that was up Lake Michigan. Basically what you're watching here today, you're watching that path all the way up from Chicago to Green Bay. And it was just gorgeous. That was a perfect day. You're not at, like, 38,000 feet or anything like that on that flight. It's a shorter flight. So it felt more like, you know, I don't know what the number would be, 25,000 or 20,000 feet, whatever. And it's just so pretty. Like when you fly to Florida sometimes and you just right along the coast.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best. So that's what this place looks like. Just spectacular. And the golf course, too. This Jordan Spieth shot. So I mentioned to you, like, the shot tracer. I couldn't believe it. Like, I want to see the shot tracer. It's like up to the moon and back.
Yeah,
this ball, it was so high. Maybe that was 28,000 feet.
Right.
This shot and the, like, kind of scary drama of Spieth unable to slow down running down that hill.
And for folks who don't know, like, we should at least, for anybody who didn't see it yet, like, he was, like, basically on the side of a cliff, right, at the green, but down the, you know, down a very, very steep slope. And after he hit the shot, he lost his balance. And, like, I can remember as a kid running so fast down a hill that you would fall. And that's what it looked like Spieth was going to do. Like, he couldn't slow down, and the lake was there, and I said, he's going in the lake. This is incredible. He didn't. He got his footing, but it was really something to see.
Yeah, he stopped kind of impressively. Because it looks like he's almost full speed down this hill. Yep. He has to run around a bunker, and he still can't slow down. There's nothing to grab onto. And then he finally gets to, I don't know, you think it's 20 feet wide of flat ground, and he's able to stop. But then there's rocks. Like, then he's fallen over the rocks into the lake. It could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
But he was able to do it. I just watched that and thought, what would I do here? I mean, first of all, I'm not hitting the shot. Like, I'm not even going to attempt the shot. I'm not going to find the ball. It's just like, forget it. I'm not even going down there.
If it's gone over that edge, that's the end of that ball.
That's right. That's right. Say, though, I have to. I'm playing in the Ryder Cup, and I have to hit the shot. Uh-huh. And he swings so hard, and through that super long grass, gets the kind of club angle he needs to launch it into space. and then right down where it just like it doesn't even bounce because it's such a steep angle.
Yeah.
And then he's just, there's so much, you know, force in his swing though that like there he goes. Just amazing.
Yeah. And then the guy, his partner, Thomas, right, missed the putt, and yes, they lost the match on that hole. So it's one of those shots that's a little, you know, it's an amazing shot. It's a little, I think they even said on the telecast, like, it might end up just being a footnote because, you know, it didn't lead to more drama, really. It was just, you know, well, that's the end of the match.
Right.
So it's kind of disappointing, a little like Josh Allen just digs in Arizona last year. What an amazing play. Oh, you lost. Oh.
You got to – the 86 Mets had to win Game 7.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, what a tough one for Thomas. Like, you better make that putt.
Yep.
After that shot, but he did miss, and they lost. That was the end of it, like you said. Crowd seems nuts. The crowd drank all morning, and I was listening to it the first tee driving in the day. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like Bills game. That's what the first tee at this thing was, Bills game. I could not boo – golfers. I couldn't do it. I would be good there to a point. I'll cheer like crazy for my guys, you know. I just could not boo the other guys, you know. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Make your noise. At least they're not making any noise when they're hitting the ball. That's good. Maybe that's coming. I don't know, but I was a little bit sort of distracted by that. Like, all right, you don't have to boo them. You don't have to boo Bernd Wiesberger, do you? But that's the Ryder Cup. Do the Americans get booed in Europe? Or do they just like sort of get, it's more like that, isn't it?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. I mean, I've watched this event, you know, many times over the years, but I can't recall how just how raucous, you know, the fans in Europe are towards
it. It's raucous, but it's not so like, I don't know. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Justin Leonard pointed out, like, these chants are not clever, he said, about our crowd today. There's not much, I don't hear any songs. You know, in Europe, they have a song for each guy. I don't hear any songs here. I just hear USA.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of energy there, Bulldog. A lot of spirit.
No doubt about that. Yep.
A lot of walking.
Spirit, synonymous with liquor.
A lot of booze. A lot of beer.
A lot of people walking around wearing, like, Abe Lincoln costumes.
I saw that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought about getting mine out for today.
Mm. Your Abraham Lincoln.
I am
actually. Like, why everyone?
We're not doing that Facebook Live for the roundtable. I am actually dressed like Abe Lincoln.
You are.
Yeah. Why is it always Abe Lincoln? It's always Abe Lincoln or George Washington. How about
Chester
Taft?
Arthur?
Chester Arthur. James Garfield. Let's spice it up a little bit.
Big
let's
jowls. Taft.
Martin Van Buren with the side. What would you call those?
Sideburns.
Yeah, but they're his hair, too.
Mutton chops.
Close.
Is that what you want? The mutton chops?
Closer. They're more like they're chops of some
the
sort.
The mutton chops. They're chops mutton of some chops. Sort. There's some sort of chops here. They connect the mustache? Do they connect to the mustache?
No, they end. Like they almost like they hang off the head, but they don't go around to the facial hair.
They're yeah, sideburns.
I believe what you are describing are mutton chops.
Okay, mutton
those
chops.
Are, that's exactly
and
those
they
are.
Never get they never see a trim.
No,
they're
no,
just
they're
super long white mutton chops.
Yes, yeah,
matching. They need to be matching. Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. Sal Capaccio at 4. This is WGR. Here we go, Week 3. Don't forget to play in the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. It's free. Sign up today by texting PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357. Just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads to know about or consider. No lineups to enter. Totally free, as I said. Rocket Mortgage and the 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You could win $10,000 if you pick the most games right throughout the season. $1,000 up for grabs each week. Tennessee hosting Indianapolis Sunday. Big game for the Colts especially, right? Like 0-3 that would be if they lose. Just getting late early. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis. Tough schedule, home with Seattle, and then the Rams to start. Two, you know, competitive games, lost both.
Yep, banged up maybe not so good quarterback.
Yeah, he's bad and banged up.
Yeah.
Then they're at Miami, at Baltimore for their next two after this week.
Okay.
I could get ugly quick.
If they were at Miami this week, would they be favored? No, I guess, right?
No. Does it matter if Wentz plays, I guess?
I don't know what to do there. Like, I don't think Wentz is a good player. And they won't say what's behind him. Reich today declined to say who would play instead. He has Jacob Eason. As soon as Jacob Eason went in last week, he threw a pick right away, second play. And that was the end of that game. They're talking about Brent Huntley, who played for Green Bay, taking some first-team snaps with Wentz hurt the other day or yesterday. So I don't know what to do with the Colts. I mean, I like Taylor, but wide receivers are thin. I don't know. Defense not great yet. Tennessee.
I don't think they'd be favored at Miami if they were playing this week. Not an 0-2, no.
Tennessee pulls the game out in Seattle, or else they'd be 0-2. They were down big. They lost badly the week before. It'd make that division really kind of fun right now if Tennessee hadn't won that game in Seattle. Jacksonville looks awful, and Houston's Houston. Like, what is happening here?
Right.
We still could be in line for a year where a team wins that division without a good record. At halftime of this game, they are honoring Bum Phillips, who died 8 years ago at the age of 90. Today I saw a story about this. I'm like, I think he died. Just like Bum Phillips will be honored. Like, I think he died. And he did in 2013. But he is going into the Oilers Titans Ring of Honor.
Oh.
They have that. Mm-hmm. He'd be one of my all-time favorite coaches. Wade Phillips' father, Bum Phillips.
For sure. Yeah, I loved those Oilers. You know, it sounds like you did too. I loved those Oilers teams. His Oilers teams, the Love You Blue and Pastorini and Burroughs and Billy White Shoes Johnson, Campbell. I mean, they were just a lot of personality.
Yep.
That team. And, I mean, and it started with the coach. I mean, the coach is over there in a big – I mean, he looked like a rancher standing on the sideline. The cowboy hat, the big Marlboro Man coat. Like, he was the best.
Ryan Tannehill was asked about him. And he said that his father was a Warren Moon fan. So he remembers that. And, quote, then obviously right before they came here, the game against the Rams. I think Ryan Tannehill thinks the Super Bowl between the Rams and the team he plays for was when they were the Oilers. That's what he said.
That's
kind of confused about that.
Sort of sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, that he thought it was the Oilers, not the Titans, who played in that Super Bowl against the Rams. Joe, do you remember that game, or are you too young?
Too young.
Rams-Titans.
Rams-Patriots is the first Super Bowl I remember.
All right. That's 2 years later.
Yes. I often mix up Bum Phillips with Buddy Ryan.
Oh, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I just looked up, who did Bum Phillips punch? He didn't punch anybody. Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride.
Right.
Who did Bum Phillips punch is great. You're the first person ever to Google that.
There was no answer whatsoever.
You're the first person ever to type that in. Who did Bum Phillips punch?
He probably punched a couple people. It just wasn't on TV.
Everybody's punched somebody, right? Sal Capaccio, when we return here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.